What is up, guys? Welcome back to Crosstown Chatter. I am your host, Colin. This is my co-host, Connor. And yeah, we're going to talk a little bit of ball as we usually do. We're going to get into some free agency stuff that's still happening around the league. A couple injuries that are could be pressing early on. Then dive into some rotations. That's always a big topic of conversations, and we're at the point now of spring training where we're going to talk about some cuts that have been made and maybe some overall performances. Yeah, whatever else Connor likes to rant about.
Everything but that I can.
Usually. He's been tame so far, though, I will say. But we'll dive right in to maybe one of the biggest conspiracies in all of baseball as of late. The man named Trevor Bauer. Still playing ball.
Allegedly.
Still a topic of conversation.
Allegedly.
Still trying harder than anybody that I've ever heard of trying to play in this league. You can't knock his will to prove his point. I know. Actually, I think his case just got dismissed. I think I saw that when I was going down a little bit of a rabbit hole earlier on today. But that is neither here nor there. Let's talk about strictly baseball. He just recently played against his former team, the Dodgers, but it was in the minor league system. It was in minor league ball. He played today. We're recording on Sunday. And he went 3 scoreless innings with 4 strikeouts and topped out at 99 miles an hour. I mean, that's
he's throwing 99.
He's throwing 99 miles an hour.
I mean, I don't know how you don't, like, maybe they don't want the baggage attached to him, but dude, I would kill for him on a league minimum deal or with incentives based around it. Like, the funny part is, though, is that when he played, it's a pay-to-play team he was on. Like some team in Japan. And you have to pay to be on the team. It's mostly for minor leaguers in Japan looking to get some scouts on the U.S., some U.S. scout eyes on them. Did find that. I kind of respect the grind in a sense. But in terms of that, it's, you know, a little beneath him. Maybe that's a little too mean, but a little bit beneath him in terms of that. But 99 miles an hour, 4 Ks and 3 innings. I mean, that's just, someone's got to fucking sign him, right?
I mean, you got to think about, and it sounds like I'm a Trevor Bauer stan, right? And I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that at all. He was never on one of my teams that I root for at all. And in fact, he was on the opposite. He played for Cleveland. We didn't like him for a while. He definitely plays with that attitude. But at the same time, like, his skill level's got to be better than some of the guys coming up. And there's got to be some type of hierarchy whether or not you're able to make it to this league, right? And from AAA to the big leagues is a huge jump. And honestly, I think he falls within that category of being in those two leagues. At the very least, a minor league deal, let him prove himself. You know, there's a couple big names that are getting into that. Talked a little bit about it, and probably talk a little bit about one specific person later on today. But, I mean, he's got to have the stuff capable of playing for someone in this league.
I mean, he does. He's proven it. I mean, he hasn't pitched since, the beginning of 2021, whenever that case happened, that's the last time he was
because there was a whole year where he didn't play, right? And then
the Dodgers just cut him, but then like MLB came through and was like, oh no, you gotta pay him still. Mm-hmm. So he made his money. He made his $105 million over 3 years or whatever it was. Great deal for a short-term AAV. I just think, you know, kind of what we talked about a couple episodes ago is that I think there's like a ban on him. He's on the blacklist. And I mean, there's a couple of things that, you know, first of all, you're bringing up, like, if you sign him, which I think is unfair. But I think if you sign him, you get a lot of bad baggage as a team. Because, like, even though, like, it came out he was innocent, there's still the drama around it. Like, oh, you know, so-and-so, you know, he did X, Y, Z, even though it was all false and fabricated. And the other part of it is, too, is, like, I remember, like, when he was on – who was he on in 2020? Who did he win that Cy Young with? It wasn't the Dodgers. Was he got traded from Cleveland to...
Yeah, I know it wasn't Cleveland. He went somewhere else before that.
Where did he go?
Did he go to the Cleveland? Braves? Or was that the Braves before Cleveland?
No, no. He was on Cleveland, and then he got traded because he tossed that ball. Francona came out and he tossed that ball to center field.
He's on the Reds.
The Reds, yes, it was the Reds. Holy shit. Won the Cy Young with the Reds and then signed that nice deal with the Dodgers. But I remember, like, he would, like, video – because he would post on YouTube, and the videos were awesome. But he would, like, talk to the player. Like, he recorded everything and would post it. So I wonder if teams just don't want to deal with that. Like, hey, like, we want to play ball. Like, we don't care about your YouTube channel. We don't care about, you know – which I think is dumb because I think that really grows the game is, like, that inside scoop. Now – maybe don't do it every day. Like, maybe have, like, an actual producer for the team and, like, have it not scripted, but maybe just have them take care of that if they want to have that done.
I'm sure they want to have some control of whatever media is portraying them. Yeah. Right? And then he started, like, kind of attacking the MLB as a whole and the integrity of the game a little bit. Which,
rightfully fucking so.
Yeah, absolutely. And things were changed because of it, which is the bitch of it, because he got booted after that.
Well, maybe if he stays in good enough shape, he can still pitch in 2029 when Manfred's reportedly retiring. So
we'll see.
Maybe.
We'll see. But yeah, I just wanted to touch on Trevor Bauer, let people know that he's still in the conversation. And there's some other players that I want to get to, too, because free agency as a whole is definitely still alive. Right. One guy that stuck out to me was Eddie Rosario going to Washington. I think that could be pretty solid. I mean, I haven't really looked into how much Washington has grown as a team this year, but I know they're not at the bottom of the list because that's where I see a lot of other teams, but they definitely could be towards that line. I think with Rosario in the roster, I think that could help a lot. He's a good ball player, obviously. White Sox fans know. Another big one, Ryan Stanek. Ryan Stanek going to Seattle.
Do you have the dollars on that?
Ooh.
Because when it originally dropped, it dropped yesterday or 2 days ago. I was in the middle of a move this weekend, so I wasn't able to look into that as much as I wanted to. But depending on what that money is, that could be a steal because he's a really good reliever.
Let me try and look it up real quick because I think I saw it somewhere. One thing I did see, though, while I'm looking this up is that Seattle, I mean, this is spring training. We say this a lot. It means nothing, right? It does and it doesn't. I don't know. I can honestly argue both ways.
Yeah.
But they have the worst ERA right now. In the league, you want to take a guess as to what that might be?
The worst in the league in spring training right now as a whole?
Yes.
Like an 8-5.
No, not quite that bad.
Okay, I'm going to go one more. Sorry. I said 8-5. Like, there's only been like a week of games. Is we're on week 2 or 3 now. My official guess is a 6.25. That's my official guess.
You are... very, very close. I believe it was 6.84.
Damn. That is like really bad. Even when I said 6.25, I was like, clearly it can't be above 6. It's
almost like 7. You want to know the second to worst one and what team?
The White Sox. No.
For all of our listeners, I'm currently shaking my head yes, because the White Sox have the second worst ERA in spring training right now. When you look
what's
at
their wins. At? What's that at?
They only have 4 wins.
No, but what's their ERA at as a team?
5.58.
Okay, well, that's a lot. That's a huge difference between 6'8 and 5'5.
It just goes to show you more on what Seattle is doing right now than what the White Sox are doing. 5.58. I'm not shocked, and I'm not too upset. First of all, if you take Touki Toussaint, this is going off track a little bit, but if you can take Touki Toussaint's ERA off that off that entire ERA, I'm sure it would be in the fours.
You think he's been, how many runs did he give up?
Guess his ERA. He's only pitched a total of 1.2 innings.
Okay, if you're telling me you think it would drop the team's ERA by one, I'm gonna say, and he only threw, oh my god, he threw 1 point. I'm trying to do some math, so let's just say two. So whatever number I have in runs allowed, I have to times that by 4.5. So I have to say, what, there's been 2 weeks of games. Has he given up like 20 runs?
I have to check on the actual number, but I'll just go ahead and say his ERA is 59.4.
I wasn't that far off, because the ERA would have been, well, much higher than that, but in the 80s, I think, is what that would come out to. What was the official number? 50 point what?
59.4.
Holy shit.
And that's like really bad. Wait,
how many runs is that? That's got to be... It's like 15 runs. It's like 13 runs.
I want to say it could be up to 15 runs, because I think there was one game he gave up like 7. And then another one, actually, it might be 13. I think the other game he gave up 6. Because there was two games that he pitched.
Improvement. That's all I see is improvement.
And just to throw this 200%. Out there, before we go on to some other free agents and whatnot, the
I'm
Cubs
looking this
ERA.
Up right now, because I'm just like, oh my god, sorry, not to interrupt, but I'm like, there's no way. It's the worst I've ever seen is infinite. Like some guy gets blown up and doesn't get an out, but like I've never seen a 60. Even
they left him in for a weird
doing?
Amount of time.
Before you get into the Cubs, what are you doing leaving a fucking pitcher in there in spring training to get blown up like that?
It probably just happened. I mean, I think he gave up a grand slam and then, a couple hits after that.
13 runs doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. It's like, especially if it was 13 runs in like 15 innings, sure. In 1.2 innings, Pedro was like, he has a vendetta against him. And he's like, let him suffer. That is just insanity. Sorry, go on. The Cubs are what?
The Cubs are 4.32.
I like that number a lot.
I want to say you
what
were.
Is
middle
it, what is
of
that
the pack?
That's probably right that there. Sounds about middle of the pack. That sounds about.
I think you were.
I think around maybe 13, 14. That sounds. Oh my god! 1.2 innings, 5. Yeah, 1.2 innings, 0 strikeouts, 59.4 ERA. Two games. That is, oh my god, will it give me a game log? Yep. So he's given up 11 earned runs.
Well, we weren't far off.
4 in his first one and 7 in his last one. That is, oh, the one was against the Cubs. I didn't even know that. That's wild. But yeah, Cubs look to have a pretty good pitching core. But as you all know, Jameson Taillon did get hurt this weekend. Before even taking the mound, he was warming up in the bullpen and something happened. The good news is there's a bad and good here. The good news is it wasn't like his arm, right? Because if it was his arm, then you're like, crap, like he's going to have to ramp up if like it's a surgery or UCL or, you know, it's like a shoulder injury. You know, that's bad, because then it's like you got to recover it, then you got to build your arm back up. The bad is that it's his back. And for the longtime Cubs fans, when I say back injury, the most historic is probably Brandon Morrow in 2019, a lockdown closer that we signed to a 2-year deal, was absolute nails the year prior. He literally blew his back out, putting his pants on. And I think he pitched another 10 innings over a year and a half after that. And we lost our closer. So I don't like that it was a back injury. I know they waited on him to see how he felt today. No better. So I think he's getting like the whole shebang done, you know, MRI, stuff like that. So, but there's a lot of implications there, specifically with Tyone getting hurt. And there's a lot of injuries throughout the league right now. Pitching's starting to get rough. I know we'll get to Giolito. I know Edward Cabrera of Miami got, I don't know what his officially is, but he came out before even throwing a pitch today. But with Tyone getting hurt and for an undisclosed amount of time, there's a ton of roster implications here. So now it's like, it almost looks like if he's not ready for opening day, Jordan Wicks, who we'll get to in a little bit later in this podcast, he will be the probably the number 4 or 5 starter. And then that leaves Hayden Wesneski, Drew Smyly, and who's the other? Tavier Assad to win that 5th spot, which if it's for a month or so, I'm cool with. I don't like that rotation with that much. And I'm not saying that, like, Jordan Wicks or the 3 guys competing for that last spot are bad or won't be great in the future. It's just there's so much. You really wanted to see Tyone, especially with the money he's making, take that next step. So I'm hoping it's going to be Javier Assad or Hayden Wesneski. Realistically, though, I'm really hoping for Wesneski to be in that line, to that rotation to start. Because I think he's got a ton of upside. If he can get lefties out, he's going to be a stud. And I'll say that with my chest. Like if he can find a way similar to Mark Leiter Jr. with his splitter to get lefties out, that's effective. He is going to be an absolute stud. That's his biggest weakness right now. He gets righties out. He strikes them out like crazy. But lefties, not great. So Javier Assad, and the reason why I'm leaving Javier Assad out is because he succeeds in any role. He succeeds as a true reliever, as a swingman, as a starter. I think if you want to build this rotation out with your best, you know, 13 pitchers, I think Wesneski or whoever, Wesneski, Smyly. I would mention Killian, but he just got hurt, unfortunately. You know, one of those guys would be that back of the rotation and leave that flexibility for Javier Assad.
I'm glad you reiterated with Assad because I was actually going to bring him up. And because I like what you said there, like he definitely could fit into any role. Like if you want to leave him in the bullpen, that clears up a spot. I definitely think he could have a spot in the rotation with Tyone gone. But the main reason why I think there's big question marks now in the Cubs rotation is because free agency, like we were just talking about, is still available. And I honestly think you could still go get Monty. Or Montgomery, or Snell, but I think Snell is more far off than Montgomery. I think they have eyes on him a little bit. I know there's been talk, but he's still a free agent. He hasn't signed with anyone.
I think the big issue with signing, here's what I'll say with the signing of either Snell, which is probably very unlikely, just because he's probably going to command a much higher AAV. But the difference between Snell and Montgomery is that if Tyone's hurt for a short stint, I don't think, like, let's say under 2 months, I don't think they're going to sign either of these guys. If it's like, oh no, like he needs back surgery and he's out for the year, I could see the Cubs swooping in and be like, hey, Monty, let's go. Like, we'll take you on a short-term AAV. Now, the implications here is the Cubs have a lot of young starters with options, right? They got Jordan Wicks, Ben Brown, Hayden Wesneski, Caleb Killian, Cade Horton lurking in the background. So the issue there is that you want to make sure, and pitching is scarce around the league, and cheap pitching is even scarcer. Is that even a word? I don't know, but we're going to go with it.
So it is now.
Like you don't want to, yeah, exactly, it is now. So you don't want to get rid of these guys and then like trade away or like block them, right? Because Kyle Hendricks is going to be a free agent next year. Personally, if he does his thing, I'd like for them to keep him. But if you sign Montgomery, all of a sudden it's like it pushes them out because you have guys like Jordan Wicks who are coming in at league minimum, 700 and whatever thousand, that can produce similarly, hopefully. So
what you're saying is you're happy where you are right now.
I'm I'm happy where I'm where I am, dependent on how long Tyone's supposed to be out. I also am. I want Montgomery. Like, if the Cubs signed him, there's not a situation in the world where I'd be like, oh no. Like, at the end of the day, like, he's a proven product. He's a dog in the postseason, as we talked about before. There was 0% of like, oh no, we signed Montgomery, now prospects won't shine. None of that. It just creates a roster crunch that they'll have to handle, whatever. But I think personally, it just depends on Tyone's situation is what it is, right? If they sign him and it's like Tyone's out for a month, fine. But I love the fact that if they don't sign him, someone's going to have to step up. Because I would love to see a Wisniewski or Javier Assad stepped up last year when Stroman got hurt. And I think he's earned the opportunity to maybe be in the rotation. But I do like the idea of like, hey, we have all these young guys. Let's see who's got the chops to stick it. Because even as a fifth starter on a rookie contract, there is insane value there. Because fifth starters, as you've seen this offseason, they're going for 10, 11, 12 mil a year. And not only that, you get them in the back of the rotation and maybe they take a step forward. Look at Justin Steele, right? Perfect example. So would not be angry or upset in any way if we sign Monty. But I do like the idea of, hey, Tyone, no, not that. I like the idea of Tyone's hurt. But that, hey, Tyone's not going to be in the rotation for a month or so. Let's give, you know, those six starts to one of these guys and see what we can do with it.
Absolutely. I mean, they haven't disclosed what the injury is for Tyone yet. They have said that he might not make it to opening day, at least not be on the roster on that day. So you don't know if it's going to be a month long, if it's just like a thing he needs to rest for the time being, if it's a half a season long or a season ending thing. Like, well, backs, like, injuries are so finicky, so tentative. Like, it really depends on the individual and how they can recover from it.
Well, and then my last thing about Tyone is yesterday was supposed to be his debut. That was his first time going to pitch. And I'm curious as to why if they were working on him with something or if there was a bigger issue that, you know, was leading up to it. But like, even if it's like, oh, hey, he'll be good to resume baseball activities in 3 weeks. Opening day's in 20 days, right? Sure. So he's going to miss opening day if it's like, even if it's that short of a stint. And then he has to ramp up. He missed spring training, right? And that's crucial. That's where you can get your whatever amount of innings you need in to ramp up your arm and like throw. So like, he, in my opinion, my last thing is, I think he's going to be at least, unless it's like, oh, he's good next week, then I think it's going to be at least a month, maybe a month and a half minimum that he's gone for the regular season.
And you kind of want that, right? There's no need to rush him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you need five guys to go to the World Series. If you only have three or four pitchers, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it past the postseason.
But I'll disagree with you. I'll disagree with you. I think when you get to the postseason, you only need three. That's my take.
Just to get there, I'm saying.
Oh, to get there, you need five. 100%.
It's a long season. It's 162 games. You know, you're going to need that rotation to actually be healthy.
Mm-hmm. But when you're in the, but you're in, when you're in that postseason, all you need is, if you're going to get hurt, as long as you're not like the ace of the team, if you want to get hurt at the end of the year, let someone else step up.
Right. You still get a ring.
Exactly. But
we don't want to see people get hurt. It's the worst thing about, obviously, this game in any sport, really. Nobody wants to see people get hurt and not talent wasted, but you're missing out not only the athlete, but the fan as well. But another injury that we can kind of segue in, another pitcher. Former White Sox, Lucas Giolito, partially torn UCL is the current diagnosis. And it honestly, what's the opposite of a cherry on top? Because I feel like
shit on the bottom.
Shit on the bottom. His career has just kind of taken a dive in the worst way. After trading him to Los Angeles, you know, he kind of struggled there a little bit. Spurts of greatness here and there, obviously, because he was our number one at one point. And he is a great pitcher. And you want to see him do well. But then he went to Cleveland, didn't really do much. Now he's on the Red Sox. And it's just kind of this merry-go-round of where can we fit him in? And now who knows how long he'll be able to miss for now. But definitely a talk of, I guess, Chicago sometimes, talking about Lucas Giolito and everything that he's done for this city. However, that trade wasn't all bad. I was kind of sad to see Ronaldo Lopez and him go, but you know who we got instead is Edgar Caro. Definitely talk about him a little bit later in this podcast, but you know, everything happens for a reason. And I think he'll be back. And I think we also lucked out on that trade, just going off a little bit on that tangent, but
yeah, to get a guy that is, I would say, a borderline top 100 prospect. It depends what list you look at, right? Some have him as high as like 50, others exclude him completely. And that's most prospects, unless you're in the top 30, realistically. Like even Colson Montgomery, who's a stud, right? MLB's got him at 9. Other people have him down in the 50s, 60s. Noah Schultz for the White Sox, some people got him as high as, what was it, like 30, 40? Other lists exclude him. So it's just how it goes. But I mean, to get that, right, to get, if you get any, in my opinion, if you sell off a rental at the deadline, someone who's a free agent in 2 months, and you get any sort of prospect that has a chance to make the, to have an impact at the big leagues, that's a major win. And the fact that you did it not once, but twice with Cuero and who's the other guy I'm missing? The pitcher. When you sold, who'd you get from the Angels? You got a guy from the Angels too.
I know. And that same trade too. I don't know why I'm escaping.
That was for Lopez.
Name. Bush? Kai Bush?
No, that's the Cubbies. Kai Bush. Yes, Kai Bush. Yep.
Yeah.
Kai Bush. To get him too, I was impressed. I was impressed with what you guys got at the deadline for rentals. I was you guys had a dud with Jake Berger, but you know, we won't talk about that too much.
I mean, there's been many duds, you know, and it's just whatever the White Sox can make out of these players because they are all still developing. We could talk a little bit about like the cuts that they made as well and sending people down. But I think Edgar Caro, I'm liking what I'm seeing. I'm actually if I had to make my own list, I would rate Caro above Montgomery right now from what I've seen.
Okay.
What I've seen in this very, very, very small sample size in spring training, I think Montgomery has 0.063 batting average out of 16 at-bats at least. I mean, I've seen other guys in that amount of at-bats do a hell of a lot more. I did watch a lot of his at-bats, though, and he did kind of get screwed out of some counts. As you know, being a hitter is not very easy. You only get maybe one good pitch out of your entire at-bat, and you got to make the most of it. However, at the end of the day, you really want to see results in spring training a little bit, or at least moments of greatness. I've talked about this a little bit, but one of the moments of greatness Caro has had is a walk-off hit to win the game against Seattle. But before we go into some more prospects and just how people have done, I do want to touch on the White Sox pitching rotation.
Okay.
It is probably the biggest topic of conversation among White Sox analytics as of yet this season. You obviously have Cease. No doubt he will be on the opening day roster, in my opinion, and he will be our very first pitcher in the ace. He's got great stuff. I will argue till the day I die if you disagree with me, because you're clearly not watching the same guy if you disagree. He's always had it, had different success in different years, but nonetheless, like, he's went out there and performed every single year.
He's by far the best pitcher on that team. It's not even close. Have they named him opening day starter yet?
I believe so.
Okay, because Steele, they just announced that Steele will be the opening day starter today. So I was like, it's getting to that time, you know?
I'm 99% sure they've said that.
And if they haven't, we all know who it's going to be. It's obvious. Right.
Yeah, it has to be. But the number 2, 3, 4, 5, even 6 are still under debate right now. Should there be a debate on some of these guys? I don't think so. Depends who you ask. We'll start with Fetty. Eric Fetty, coming from the KBA. He struggled at Washington a little bit. However, what I've seen as a whole and what I've seen in spring training is that he can get outs. He's not going to be that powerful strikeout guy. He's not going to be the Chris Sale getting 13 strikeouts a game and shit. Fetty will get outs, a lot of ground balls, a few pop-ups here and there. Maybe I think he let up one home run his last outing. But that's to be expected. That's going to happen. But I think he can fit into that number two spot. Now is where it gets a little bit, I'd say, hectic with who you ask on what number three would be. A lot of people are saying Mike Soroka. So I wouldn't be mad about it, but I don't know if he's number three. Another one is Chris Flexen. Very, very solid pitcher. I think he can get you a lot of solid innings. Do I want him at the three spot? I think I could probably fit him in at four. I think he can make an argument at four. Who I want to see at number three is honestly Garrett Crochet. I think he's not talked about as a starter at all from what I've heard. And I don't think I've seen anything that would tell me otherwise where he couldn't go out there and get outs immediately. I think it's him and Kopech who have this interchangeable spot in their rotation. I think you can do a little bit with those two. I think you can even fit him in the same game as like a double starter some games. I don't think you have to stick to that. But you also have a six-man, Jared Schuster. There's a whole lot of question marks in this lineup. And obviously, Touki Toussaint shit the absolute bed.
And he's not getting innings. That's the other thing, too. He's got 1.2 innings. Like, I just don't see him being...
Who's that?
In that rotation. Toussaint.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he's... I think he got... Actually, no. I think he just got moved to the bullpen as of yet. I don't think he got cut. But I definitely want to talk about Crochet. Let me just... Give me a second. I want to pull up his actual stat card right now in spring training. Because the bounce back season that I think he's going to have is going to be astronomical.
While you look that up, I'm going to go with my rotation for the White Sox. What I would do.
Okay.
I think I would go... Obviously, Dylan Cease one. I would go Kopech 2, Fetty 3, Soroka 4, Crochet 5. That would be my lineup. Soroka's that veteran. I think Kopech's at this point, he's considered a vet, right? He's been in the league for 5 years. They want to see what he's made of. Mm-hmm. You kind of, it's make or break. And not saying he's going to be your two pitcher halfway through the year, but I think you want to get him those starts. You want to get him in there, right? Fetty, I think he's the type of guy who is like, you know, can get in there again, as you said, get the outs, be a good like workhorse, like a lackey towards the end of his career, but nothing that's like, oh my God, he'll probably have a great game, like an amazing game every 2-3 months, but nothing that's like, oh my God, he's an all-star or stuff. Soroka, bounce back.
I think he could be an all-star one day. I don't think he'll be an all-star this year. I think he's got the stuff to be there eventually.
Possibly. And baseball's that weird thing where it's like anyone could pop off and be an all-star, but at least for year one, I don't think so. Soroka, again, I think he's a polished vet at this point. You know, and I guess he's a vet. He's been in the league for a few years. But I think he's going to be a good four. And Crochet, back of the rotation, not because of his skill set, but because he's definitely going to have an innings limit.
See, I honestly disagree with the innings limit. I think they're going to play it by ear in the respect of his body and how he can handle at least the first few games that he appears in.
You willing to put a friendly wager down on this?
I think I am willing to put a friendly wager on it.
A whole whopping $5?
I would virtually handshake you for $5 saying that he will probably be a starter.
No. That's not the bet. The bet is I don't think he goes more than 120 innings.
Okay, that's a more clear bet.
I will do this as well. I'll add this caveat in there because if this happens, it'll change.
We have witnesses, by the way.
Oh, yeah. If there is a substantial injury to him, the bet is void completely. That okay. only benefits you. So I figure you'll take it.
I will take that. But while we're on Garrett Crochet, let me just go over the spring training stat line right now. So we've heard of what Touki Toussaint has done. Not that we have to compare this guy to Touki, but we'll compare the actual stats. Touki had 1.2 innings. Okay. He let up 11 runs.
Mm-hmm.
And ERA over 59. That was in two games. Garrett Crochet has been allowed to pitch in three games, a total of 6 full innings, 0 earned runs, 0 ERA, 9 strikeouts, and a 0.83 whip. He had 9 strikeouts in spring training. Obviously, if you can make the argument that people are doing bad, it means nothing in spring training. Can you? You have to make that argument that this means nothing when they're doing well.
For him, I would give a little caveat to him because he's coming off an injury, and to have that, like, it's not a big enough sample size, but it's a good little stretch to be like, okay, like, hey, it's there.
And think about the amount of just batters that you face in general, right?
Oh yeah.
Like, yes, he is more of a veteran now than he was in 2023. With that said, he's coming off an injury, obviously, but he appeared in 13 games with 12.2 innings pitched in 2023 and only had 12 strikeouts. If he has 9 strikeouts in half as many innings just in spring ball, that tells me that he has fine-tuned some of his pitches, which honestly, if you watch some of the film, it definitely seems a little bit sharper. And his delivery, his demeanor, who he faces, it doesn't matter. Shohei Ohtani. But hopefully he can do that in the regular season. I just think that he has shown you everything that you need to see to be in this questionable rotation.
Yeah. I mean, I think people forget that, like, I'm looking up his stats. Yeah, I wanted to make sure I was right. But 2021, like, as a reliever, he was a stud.
Yeah.
Like, and by the way, he was only a reliever because that's where they needed his arm up there because he was just dominating the minors. And they had a full rotation at that time. And they probably didn't want to give him a full workload. And then he missed 2022, it looks like. But he had 54 innings pitched and 65 strikeouts. That's really good. And when he was drafted out of college in the first round, I think at like pick 11 or 12 or something like that, he was a starter in college, and I wanted the Cubs to draft him. You guys beat us to the punch. We had to take that was when we had a draft at Ed Howard, a local guy from Mount Carmel. But like, he was a starter, and like I think he if you left him in the bullpen, it would be a disservice to him and the team. So I just don't think it happens. I think it's rotation or not bust, but rotation. And I think he might be your new Dylan Cease when Cease gets traded. He's going to be that guy you can rely on, and he's just filthy, and he'll give you, you know, a lot of innings with a lot of strikeouts eventually. You know, maybe not this year, but, you know, the next year when he's fully, you know, ramped up and healthy and no more innings limit. But I'm excited to watch him because I wanted him so bad. I was hoping he was going to fall down to the Cubs, and he didn't. I was so sad.
And I'm excited for where his career could go. He's still pretty young. I think he's only like 25 or 6. And he's still got pop in his arm. His stuff looks better than ever. So I think his future is a lot brighter than it might have looked last year.
He's 24. He's young. And he's so young.
Oh, wow. I thought
he was 24.
A little bit older than that. That's wild.
Pick 11, yeah.
I just want to transition a little bit into your number 2 pick because it's a little bit more controversial among White Sox analysts and fans. Mm. Kopech, I think people know he deserves to be in this rotation. I will say a 28-pitch first inning kind of scares me because that's what he had. And I think he might have had it in his last outing or the outing before that in spring training. I didn't like to see that. It's almost like when I was watching him pitch, some of his pitches, and this doesn't happen all the time, but some of his pitches almost seems like his backside is lagging. And you might be saying, Colin, what do you know about MLB pitching? Well, I know a lot about pitching in general. I was a catcher for a very long time. I've seen a lot of pitches thrown my way, and I've obviously seen a lot of baseball in general, and just pitchers do their thing. And I know what works and what doesn't work, what guys are tipping off. And it just seemed like some of his pitches that were either he left high, it seemed like his backside was kind of dragging a little bit because he has such a quick delivery as soon as he lifts up his front foot. And so sometimes his backside can't catch up with the rest of his body. However, he's still a major leaguer with a lot of experience, so he's able to make those adjustments. And I'm sure he kind of realizes what he's doing wrong sometimes, and he'll eventually figure it out even within some at-bats. And I think that's the only thing holding him back between the three spot, even the two spot, or maybe even falling into the four spot in this rotation. So I'm just interested to see what Grifol is actually going to do come opening day.
His biggest issue is walks and being like, I feel like he's Wild Thing from Major League.
Yeah.
You know, like he has the stuff. He's got the speed, pitch speed, pitch velocity. But it's just like not being able to command it, to have that control is what's hurting him, right? Like Justin Steele throws two pitches, not that hard. Like not that it's not that hard, but he doesn't throw fast.
He's a lefty, though.
He's two pitches. How often do you see a pitcher have a Cy Young type season with two pitches?
Mariano Rivera.
Well, yeah, he's also disgusting. He's in a league of his own. But what's the difference? He's able to locate the fastball and locate the slider where he needs it, right?
That's what Mark Burley did. Burley didn't throw over 90 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm. Kyle Hendricks never thrown over 90 miles an hour.
He had an insane stretch. Right.
Mm-hmm. But obviously, you know, it's not just about command. You need to understand your pitches. You need to have some good pitches. So I think, like, if he can just – and command is one of those things where you can't – and you know this as a catcher. You can't just teach command. There's not, like – right, it just has to click. You have to, like, some people, they just have such good stuff, it's so hard to control it, right? It's just like, it's like you're firing a machine gun and the recoil, you can't control it, right? You're just kind of absorbing it. So like for him, it's just like, if he could just find a way to, and he doesn't have to have crazy good command either, just enough or be able to tunnel the pitches in a way where it's going to induce a lot of swinging strikes or swinging balls even. Like that, like he's going to be an ace, but he just can't control the walks. He can't control where the pitches are going.
Think of it this way. When you look at some of these elite pitchers like Gerrit Cole or even Dylan Cease, I would have to argue that if you were to put like an animation on the strike zone, their little dot of where they're aiming is so small, and there's so many minute changes between pitches and locations for some of these guys. And that's usually ends up in their favor. You miss small, you aim small. And it just seems like sometimes when Kopech throws, that little target is as big as a basketball. He's just looking at the catcher's helmet or mitt as a whole and not the actual thread coming off of the catcher's glove. And you can tell in his delivery sometimes he throws like he's throwing 200 miles an hour. Like he throws powerfully. And I feel like that also kind of weighs into the fact that he's sometimes a little bit wild. And when you give up some of those pitches, that just brings the count up. Ergo, you walk 100 guys in a season. So I just don't want to see that this year. I want him to take command of the strike zone. I want him to get ahead and actually shove like we've seen that he could do. And I have no issue with him being at number two or three. I really don't. I just want to see the performance back up where he's going to be placed.
And like, if he was on a team with a decent rotation, he'd probably be like a 3-4, probably not a 3, even like a 4. I don't think he's low as a 5.
No.
but like it might just be a case of like he throws, maybe he's throwing at like 95% effort, and maybe he needs to dial that down to like 80, 85 and have more control. Because if his stuff's moving, it's moving, right? So maybe a little less velocity, maybe you lose a mile or two on your fastball per hour, but you're able to locate it, you're able to tunnel it better. That might be a case with him. I mean, the White Sox are notorious for not developing pitchers as well, right? So I think he's like a prime candidate of someone who could go to like a Rays, a Cleveland, a Cubs, a Dodgers, like who have really good pitching infrastructures, and, at least now, and like just take off and just be like a stud.
Yeah, so I agree. I think there's definitely a lot of upside potential with Kopech. A lot of these guys in this lineup, and we haven't really talked about the White Sox bullpen rotation, but we'll talk about that in a different day. I just really wanted to talk about some of the question marks around this rotation, a little bit of the question marks around the Cubs rotation too. But speaking of the Cubs a little bit, transitioning to cuts, do you know of any notable players that just got cut from the 40-man?
Pete Crow Armstrong.
Did he really?
He did. He got cut. So he was not cut in the typical sense, but assigned to AAA. He'll get some AB. Like, just because you're cut doesn't mean you can't get at bats either. It's just like, hey, you're not going to get a majority of the playing time. A lot of the top prospects you saw, Matt Shaw, Owen Casey, guys like that, they got cut too. Owen Casey was never going to make the 40-man roster. He's not Rule 5 eligible until next year. PCA got cut. That was not as shocking. If Bellinger didn't sign a couple weeks ago, I think I'd be a lot more shocked. And I get it, right? Because right now they're probably thinking, hey, you need to go down to AA or AAA and get your at-bats in, get going. So in terms of that, it was shocking to see so early, I think. Because he was still, you know, there's still a path for him to be in the MLB opening day, especially with Ian Happ getting hurt. So I was a little surprised by that. But other than that, there was really nothing really else. Ben Brown actually surprised me. I think Ben Brown got cut. I thought he was maybe in play for a reliever spot with his stuff. But I think what they're going to do is they're going to stretch him out in AAA to be a starter. I think that's where his value is. I think that's where they want him to be. Especially now that Tyone's hurt, I think they're going to be like, hey, like we need you to come in and start, because he is on the 40-man roster. He has not made his big league debut yet, so that would be fun. But I think I know they're going to put him down in AAA and they're going to have him start and work on some stuff. Very similar to Jordan Wicks last year when they knew he was polished. They knew they needed to get him some reps. So I believe they threw him in AA to start, But speaking about pitching and cuts, that's all the cuts the Cubs had. Anything on the White Sox side before I get in Jordan Wicks?
Honestly, I think there was a lot more names cut than I thought there would be. If you look at the depth chart right now, it's a lot of the returning guys right now and a lot of notable names. I think Corey Lee and Mark Payton are still on the lineup as of right now, just because those are problem areas right now. We only have two legitimate catchers. We only have, I guess, two legitimate right fielders. So that's where they're at right now. So that means Oscar Colas down to AAA Charlotte.
Mm.
I was kind of surprised with that. I feel like it's almost like he has to go out and prove himself so much more than some other guys. I don't know if that's accurate. It's just the way it seems to me. I think he could have definitely stayed. I thought he could have had potential to stay on the roster opening day. I mean, he has some unfortunate at-bats. I thought his defense looked decent, but I guess they didn't see that right now. I mean, he's still on AAA. I think they like to keep him there, but I don't think he will go any lower than that. But yeah, on AAA, along with right-hander Davis Martin, left-hander Sammy Peralta, kind of surprised about that one. I thought he did well. Infielder Jose Rodriguez, and then down to AA was Josemar Cousin. That was the guy I was talking about with that looping curveball. he did give up a couple of hits, like hard hits, so maybe that's why. And then Jake Eater also kind of surprised that, though he did well. And then reassigned to minor league camp. I want you to tell me what that actually means. Connor here is the minor league ball and prospect Rain Man. So
yes, so that means they actually gave him an assignment, right? So if you're, it just means you're working with that group. So like if you're assigned to AAA, you're working with the AAA coaches, AAA players. Just because you're assigned right now doesn't mean that's where you're going to start necessarily. That just might be, you know, the group they want you with. You know, maybe they want you with, you know, if you're like a low, if you're like supposed to start in high A, they want you with a catcher in AAA. But they're obviously not going to bring that, you know, guy down from AAA to high A camp. So it just means essentially you're working with that group, not an actual assignment quite yet. So an assignment just means this is where you're going to start the year or whatever point during the year.
Kind of like a placeholder.
Exactly.
Well, in that location, kind of falls Kai Bush, Edgar Navarro, just to name a couple. And then a big one is Edgar Caro. I'll talk about him in a couple of minutes here before we wrap it up. So we're closing in on the hour mark. But Edgar Caro got reassigned. I think it was either him or Navarro that were dealing with some little injury that like wasn't too pressing, or at least they thought. But I was kind of surprised with Edgar Caro and then keeping Corey Lee. I mean, I think they just, I don't know, we talked about it. They don't want to bring him up too quickly. Whatever the reason might be, that's where he's at right now. But I definitely don't think he'll stay there.
Interesting. Yeah, it's take it with a grain of salt, right? They're going to call, especially with the White Sox, right? They're going to be, they have so many positions that are ifs. Like, you're going to see a lot of ups and downs. Like, ups, people getting called up, people getting brought down. You're going to see a lot of that this year. So take everything with a grain of salt, I'd say, with you know, the people short stints. You know, they're going to want certain people to go back to AAA, get some work done, come up, see what they got in the big leagues. Cuero's probably one of those guys that'll get a midseason call-up realistically. I don't think you guys have any catchers that are, like, blocking them by any means. So, anything else with the White Sox before I get into Michael Bush and Jordan Wicks?
No, let's hear about your picks to play here with when it comes to prospects.
So two guys, and I guess a third would be Alexander Canario, but we talked about him last week. But these two guys have really stood out to me during camp, and these are guys that were not on the big league, either on the team in terms of, or in the organization for the Cubs, or had a long stint in the majors, Jordan Wicks and Michael Bush. So I'll start with Wicks. Now, Jordan Wicks has had a pretty solid spring training. We're looking at 12.1 innings pitched, a 1.46 ERA, and a 1.05 whip with 10 strikeouts. He's not a heavy strikeout guy. He can be. He pitched 4.1 innings today of one-hit baseball with 7 strikeouts. So to me, I was like looking at that. I was like, that is fairly impressive that he was able to do that. And that was versus Texas, the reigning champs, and they actually had a semi-solid lineup in there. What did he give up? He gave up. Sorry, it was 2 hits, 1 run off of an error, and 7 strikeouts. I mean, that's just awesome to see. And it looked like today he was working backwards. He was setting up with the. He was throwing his curveball and his changeup to begin with, and then he was setting up the fastball to as a swing and miss type. And he's got so much potential because his fastball and changeup are so good, and then he can come in with those secondary pitches, the curveball, the splitter, the cutter. Like, this is a guy who's going to be I think he's a guy who comes in, he's a solid 4-5, probably more likely 5, and then after a year or two of MLB experience of working with his pitches, he is going to be a really good pitcher. As high as a 3, I don't think he's got ace upside, but you never know in this league. But just that has impressed me so much. That's why earlier when we were talking about pitchers, I talked about Wicks basically having a lock now that Jameson Taillon's hurt. I just don't think out of that group of 4 that you don't start Wicks in the majors. So that'll be exciting to see. I'm really pumped to see his first start in a couple weeks here. Michael Bush is the other name. He's a lefty bat from the Dodgers. He's a prospect, usually ranked in the top 50. He was blocked, obviously. He doesn't have a defensive home, so we're putting him at first base to start the year. He'll probably rotate first base DH, and we'll see how that goes. But he's a lefty power bat. He hit a home run and a double today. He's just shy of 1,000 OPS. So just seeing that success in spring training makes me feel a little better of what we gave up, right? We gave up Jackson Ferris and Zahir Hope. Zahir Hope is literally a lottery ticket type prospect. And Jackson Ferris he's not a lottery type. He was taken in that Cade Horton draft for above slot because we were able to give Cade Horton under slot money. So we picked him up in the second round, even though he had first round grades. And he debuted this year at 19 or 18 years old, debuted at low A, which is insane for a pitcher. So that's a guy that you could see in 3-4 years, he'll be a top maybe 30 prospect. And you go, ooh, but if Michael Busch can, man, if he could play a semi-decent first base, and if that bat translate for a lefty power bat at that cost, in terms of prospect, now it seems like they just gave up future prospect capital because these guys aren't developed yet. The two guys we gave up, future value over current value is what that seems like. So, man, if Michael, and I'm not talking about like a 900, like he's got like a 996 OPS or something around there right now. I'm not even talking about that level. If he can come in and give us like a 790 to like 830 OPS, and just for those that are listening that don't know, OPS means your slugging and your on base percentage combined. You know, that's a win in my book, right? You got first base now for the next 6 years covered. So he's just really impressing me. His swing reminds me of like almost like a control, the Javi Baez and like a Bellinger swing combined. Not saying either he's going to have that level of success at all.
I just saw a side note. I just saw El Mago. For those who don't know who that is Javier Baez. Ooh. Has 0 hits and 5 strikeouts all of spring training.
He's killing it.
He is an absolute stud. Honestly, future Hall of Famer. Love seeing what that guy's doing right now.
He's doing great. I miss him. Anyways, but like he reminds me of like those two swings and like on the Javi side, like a lot more controlled because Javi will just, he's just moving. He'll swing at any slider thrown his way, even if it's 3 feet out of the box. But I'm just like, people keep talking about how this Cubs team is the exact same. How are they going to win? Guys like the guys I'm mentioning now, these guys that are going to be able to step up, who are prospects, who are free agents, whatever it may be, that can step up and make a positive impact. So like, our first base production was only halfway decent because Cody Bellinger was there for a good amount of the season because Mike Tauchman came up and played center. And that was our best bet. So now, like, you get a better production in center field. You get a better production at first base. Hopefully, Morel's bat translates and his defense translates at third base. And all of a sudden, three positions just improved immensely. Like, I'm getting excited. I'm getting to that where, like, I'm starting to be a homer again, you know? Like, oh, my God. Like, I see where this could go. And I see the vision, you know, like finally I see the vision. I'm excited. Obviously on that same note, it could go the exact opposite way. And it's like, oh my God, these guys suck. And we are at like 15 games under 500 and we're 50 games in. It can go that exact same way. But with the leadership the Cubs have right now, I just don't see that happening, at least that early. But Michael Busch, Jordan Wicks, two guys to keep a lookout for.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I think you told me this earlier today. What is their rank as far as their farm system?
Oh, yeah. The Cubs have the number 2 farm system in the league, according to MLB.com. I mean, they have 7 top 100 prospects, where they have another 4 guys right outside. I'm not going to go into explaining grades. We're about coming up on time. But they have a 50 grade, which is pretty good for a prospect. All the top 100 guys are 55 plus. So they have 4 guys with 50 grades that are right outside the top 100. That's awesome. That's like, what is that? That's 11 players that are just studs. Number 2. Listen, when you have a team coming off an 83 win season and the number 2 ranked farm system in baseball, there's a lot to look forward to in the next couple of years. The fact that Jed was able to take this team in 2021, sell all that talent off with a shit farm system, and then, what, a year and a half after that, get a team that was one game away from the playoffs, and then have basically that exact same team plus another couple pieces and the the second top farm system in baseball, that's impressive. It's like me telling you, hey, last year, so 2022, you'd sell off in the middle of 2022. By 2025, you guys would have missed playoffs by one game and had a, and then the year after that season ends, you'd have the number two farm system in baseball. I think anyone would take that. And that Absolutely. Would be after, like, you trade guys like Eloy, Yoan, Dylan Cease, guys like that. Like, that is impressive as hell to me.
And, you know, hopefully we get there at one point. We're always in the Cubs' footsteps, or as of lately, it seems like it. It's got to be a good feeling. You know, you feel like everything's starting to come together a little bit, especially with the couple seasons that you've had. And then also don't forget about winning in 16. I mean, to do all of that, even after the World Series win, is definitely something to talk about. But that is definitely why, you know, Connor could probably have four or five prospects that he wants to dive deep into. But, you know, that's a good problem to have. The only person that I really want to dive into a little bit, and I talked about him a here and there, and I probably will eventually, is Edgar Caro. I see so much potential from this guy. He is 20 years old. 2-0. So young. We got him from Cuba. Like I mentioned before, we received him in the Angels trade for Giolito and Ronaldo Lopez. And he's been kind of grinding in minor league ball, and he's done really well. Definitely go peep some videos of him absolutely nuking the baseballs because he's a switch hitting catcher. First of all, if you don't know, that is the fastest way to the MLB that you can actually get. The amount of value that adds to a team says a lot, and it'll keep you playing in this league and punch your MLB card for a very long time if you can do it well. I also mentioned that he had the walk-off in spring training. Keep in mind, he only had three at-bats. Out of the three official at-bats in the entire spring training. So he definitely could have some type of like little injury that we don't know about in full right now. That's why he might not be getting as much action as some of the other guys right now. And that's okay. There's no reason to move him forward at all. I think you definitely want to keep this guy around for a while. But just some of his minor league stats are something to look at. He's played 251 games in the minor league. He's had 28 home runs, 162 RBIs, 279 total batting average, and an OPS of 857. He was a Class A 2022 All-Star already. And, I mean, just his approach is, first of all, the same from the left side to the right side. Some switch hitters change their either their load or how they deliver the bat through the zone, depending on what side of the plate that they're on. But it to me, it's very, very similar between those two batting styles on either side of the plate. And honestly, that is probably going to help him in the long run. He seems like he sees the ball well. And when he makes contact, some of these balls just go flying.
I did not know he was 20 years old.
20 years old.
That's actually impressive. And you said he's at double A?
Well, right now? He's designated for assignment right now. They're not
has
sure.
He played it? Do you have his stats pulled up?
Yeah.
Can you go to minor league stats and see where he played last year?
Last year would have been in the Angels organization. Bear with me here.
Oh, he's not even on the 40-man roster. Shit, I can't even look him up. I thought it was on MLB.com. Because if he played in double A already, that's impressive as hell.
I think he might have gotten to double A. Let me check.
If anyone listening, if you're like 21 years or younger and you're in double A, that's insane.
No, he's like just United. Sorry to cut you off. He's just in the single A, or he's only played in single A. But all the games that he's played in their minor league, those are the stats that it came from. And like I said, gotcha. I don't know if he got the VM MVP, but he definitely was an all-star for 2022. And, you know, he is only 20 years old. He doesn't have a ton of experience right now, but if you see his approach to the plate, it definitely looks like it.
That makes so much more sense now why some people have him off the list and other people have him on the list for the top 100 prospects, because a lot of people don't give a shit what you do until you reach double A. A lot True. Of these places. So, like, that's going to be his real test this year. Like, if he's going to be 20 years old at double A, and if he can show even average offensive production and the defense he provides, I mean, he's going to shoot up the prospect ranks.
Absolutely. Like,
he might be top 30, top 40 in all of baseball if he can eventually just produce.
Eventually, I think he has the capability of getting there. But just wrapping this up, one really awesome thing that Cubs and Sox fans have to look forward to this Friday, March 15th. Actually, it might even start the 14th, but it's this new thing they're doing. It's called Spring Breakout. It's like a whole weekend day or a weekend series against the Cubs and the White Sox, where all these guys who have been quote unquote cut are, well, not all of them, but some of the invitees.
Top 30 prospects.
Right. Some of the invitees.
If you register them, like if the team decides to register them.
Right. They will all be coming back for this series. A couple names to throw out there for the White Sox: Brian Ramos, Colson Montgomery, and of course, Edgar Caro. So that'll be pretty cool to see. And then for the Cubs, some of the names you can see is going to be Cade Horton, Owen Casey, and Matt Shaw. So it should be
Kevin Alcantara, James Triant. I haven't memorized. That's how much of a prospect nerd I am. I know PCA's not playing. I know that. Yeah, it's that's how bad I am, dude. I follow this stuff way too much for prospects. I know, memorized.
You gotta, and then it's mostly like, all right, what are they going to do when they actually get to that situation? But
I think just one last point. I know we're over time, but like that's awesome. That's how you grow the game. You show off the prospects. That's why I love baseball the way I do. That's why I don't have a note sheet here. I'm just talking off the top of my head because it's all I do. If I'm on Twitter, it's baseball. It's just minor leagues, like Cubs. Can't say the same for other teams, but like that's how you grow the game. You get these guys when they're in the minors. You get people excited about them. Oh, who's this guy? And then they make their MLB debut, and you're like, oh, I watched him at spring breakout or in the minors or whatever. So I think it's a great way to grow the game because – and they just started streaming minor league games last year. I probably watched more minor league games than baseball games, like at the MLB level. But it's awesome. I love what they're doing with that.
Yeah, actually, I think I misspoke. It's the Cubs and Sox game is going to be on the 15th. And then I think other teams around the league or other rivalries are starting to do this as well. And it'll be this weekend. So that'll be a fun thing to look forward to.
Yep.
Maybe off... off the record, Connor and I will make a little side bet on the game on Friday. But definitely got to tune into that and see how it goes. But if you're still listening, thank you very much. Tune in to next week. We'll see how it goes and reconvene and see what happened.
Thanks for listening.
Appreciate you.